to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
How great thou art, How great thou art. Are so great. Would you speak to our hearts and change us today? In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. I invite David and Holly Porch, if they will. You're in the room somewhere here. Are you in the room? They're coming. Here they come. So David and Holly, it's exciting to have them with us. Let's make them welcome this morning. David and Holly, Holly, we count you as a Marshall Countyan because you lived here for quite a while, for several years, but welcome, welcome, friends. David and Holly, David is from Marshall County, from Albertville. They and their four children have served the past 3 years in Senegal, West Africa, and we have been blessed to be a part of your support team from the very beginning, and it's been a blessing to do that as a church on your journey. So here's my question. Why Senegal?
I have three quick reasons, and Holly can add to this if I forget something. First of all, thanks, and it's good to see y'all. Glad to be back in First Baptist. Glad to be back in Albertville. But the first reason is because Senegal is technically a secular government, and so it's an open country. It's not a restricted nation, even though it is 95% Muslim. So that's really two reasons. It's open, and there's a Muslim majority population there, which means they're unreached. And then finally, and I don't get tired of saying this, the main reason is because Jesus deserves those for whom he died in Senegal. And so that's why we go. That's why we do anything to advance the kingdom.
Well, so tell me.
Oh, you've got a microphone.
That's okay. Tell me what you guys have been doing the past 3 years. I know Holly has ministry there. You're doing ministry together, but you each are doing separate things as well. Holly, you want to talk about what you have been doing besides taking care of your wonderful four children and remind everyone of the ages of the four. Now, listen, you think going to the beach with four little ones is tough. How about moving halfway around the world to Senegal? Give us the age of your children, if you will.
Okay, Raynan is 9, and Nathan is 7, Jakin is 5, and Jairus will be 2 next Sunday.
Awesome. And so he was born in Senegal.
He was born in Senegal in 2020.
So he has dual citizenship.
Yes.
All right, okay.
So yes, actually, I see my biggest ministry as discipling our four children. So just trying to point them towards Jesus and how to walk with him and how to point others towards him. And so we actually walk to their school each morning and try to pray together each morning on that walk. And we see people along the way, neighbors, and talk to them. And I meet some of their classmates and their classmates' parents. And that's part of a ministry too, is really just developing relationships with those adults as friends of mine and trying to do discipleship that way. But I've also gotten involved in the hospital, so I do that volunteer one day a week, and in the future, I feel like that's kind of where God is leading me to focus on, to do a lot of education with women during childbirth and after for breastfeeding, and it's just been really neat to show compassionate care to these women that they're not used to receiving. So I hope to be able to influence some of the midwives there to give more compassionate care and to take opportunities to speak gospel truth.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. David, what about you? What's been your primary focus once you guys got past the bulk of language school, which took a long time, and you're still working on the language, but what's been the bulk of your focus now?
That's true. And don't underestimate that. When a team of missionaries or a family is moving somewhere, they don't speak English, and our weak minds are only monolingual, most of us anyway, not all of us in here. But because of that, really digging down and passing all that time in language learning the first really year and a half, 2 years, I've started preaching and teaching at our church. And I have been teaching at the one seminary in Senegal. There's a Bible college that's coming up too. They've talked to me as well. But the main thing I'd say that we're focused on is getting the Word of God out and translated in an urban version of the Wolof Bible. And up to this point, we've translated to Genesis 18 and the entire book of Ruth. So not much. There's a lot that's left to be done on that. So please pray for that.
Well, and talk a little bit about that, the process. And this is interesting when you think about, well, don't you just sit down and take an English Bible and then just figure out how to say it in Wolof and write it down? It's not near that simple. Talk about the just quickly the process from translating to checking, how many people are involved. It's painstaking because it's the Word of God. You want to get it correct. You're going to give them something that will bring life to them. So what's the process look like?
Yeah, that's true. No church is going to be founded apart from the Word of God.
Amen.
So what we do is we start with the text that we are adapting. We have a deep Wolof version that will be completely finished in September, but it's so different from the way the urbanites speak that we're updating it. So we're taking that base text and we're adapting it to a more modern language. And any exegetical decisions, or basically what I mean is like meaning questions, get referred to me. So that we have, there are five of us. We have a project coordinator and three national translators who are themselves experts in the Wolof language. And if they have any questions about the original meaning of the Hebrew text, that's my job. So it's a team effort.
That's a pretty big deal for a guy from Sand Mountain, I want you to know. So
okay.
It is. And talk about this for a moment, that the missionaries involved, and it's, God's created you for such a time as this, but your local translators, the people who are on the ground doing that, part of one of the things, the Porches are not here to raise funds for themselves. Their funding is still strong and secure. But if someone would like to help with this, to pay for those local translators, which the amount's going to be astounding to our folks, but talk about what it costs to provide the local expert translators their salary for a month for the time that you work on that, if you work on it twice a week. Talk about what that salary would be.
Okay. I'm notoriously bad at math. God gifted me in the realm of languages, but math is not my forte. So I was actively trying to do conversion in my head when I said like $40 a month. That's what they're making now. So we have a yearly budget baseline of $5,000. We want to raise $5,000 for our men's salaries that get paid. If we can do translation work twice a week, that would be ideal. And the long story short is our translation project is in a state of transition because the director over that project, he has come back stateside with his wife. They were with World Venture, so the project needs to change hands from World Venture to another organization. But in the meantime, our men still need to be paid their salaries, and we don't want to lose them because if we can't pay them, they'll go get other jobs, and then the project will just stall out indefinitely. But if you just double that $40 amount, that's $80 a month for each man. And that's all that they are making. That's fine, though, because in Senegal, the price of living is much lower. But that's really all we need. But if we could get up to a $5,000 amount for the year to also pay paid volunteers who would be doing the checking process, these would be Muslims who would be sampled at different ages, who will come in, and after we've done the translation, they will check to see if it makes sense. And we interview them and ask them certain assessment questions to make sure that the text makes sense to them.
It's a painstaking process, but it's something we can be involved in. If you want to help with that, you want to help to literally help the Bible be translated into the Wolof language for the people there. Just as a reminder of the Wolof people in Senegal, how many would you say in your entire nation, what's the percentage of believers, born again followers of Jesus in Senegal, if you were to guess?
All total, the population of about 17 million, there's 0.5% evangelicals. And of those, very, very few are Wolof believers. And there are no Wolof churches in Senegal.
And so that's, some of you will remember this from a few years ago when David and Holly were with us, but this is just, I'm so thankful. When I had the privilege of being the student pastor here years ago, and David was in and out of our ministry for things and around, and so I'll count you as one of mine, okay? I do, but he was in and out, and the reality is, as you pray and you think about what God can do, then a few years later, God called us to Maine, and while we were serving in Maine as church planters of a very small, honestly, a ragtag group of people that had just come to know the Lord, not people that were giants in their faith in any regard, people who were just learning about Jesus. But we decided that we didn't want Albertville First Baptist Church and other churches just to give to us, which is what was happening. We wanted to teach them to be missional right away. So we asked for the International Mission Board to give us an unreached people group to pray for in 2006. And so our little small group started praying in 2006. We had literally a blow-up beach ball that looked like the world in the corner. That was our missions display. We hung it from the ceiling. And we had our unreached people group that we were praying for, and prayed for them for a long time. And then back a few years ago, David comes to sit in my office and says, look, this is what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to go and to serve among the Wolof people of Senegal, West Africa. And in 2006, that little ragtag group of people, we were praying for the Wolof people of Senegal, West Africa. And for me to see what God can do by letting us, it blew my mind to be a little piece in the middle of that thread from knowing you as a teenager, never heard of the Wolof people, you hadn't either, to church planting in another state because of this church here making that happen, to us adopting an unreached people group to pray for, to then a decade later, God calling you to move there, to now you've been there 3 years. I can't tell you what a blessing that is to me, but I can't overemphasize enough how Jesus will make himself known. And Jesus wants to be known by the world. And the world needs to hear about him. And that includes people on Sand Mountain. And that includes people on the little rolling hills in Senegal, West Africa. You don't have mountains. That includes people all over this world. And so never underestimate your prayers for people who are doing work around the world. Never underestimate your prayers for unreached people. Never underestimate the $10 you give to make a difference in someone's life. And never underestimate what God might do 5 steps down the road because you showed an act of kindness, because you prayed for a church planter or missionary, because you gave in some way. You have no way of knowing on this side of eternity the impact our day-to-day decisions are making for the kingdom of God.
That's true.
And so I want to say, and David's going to share a little more tonight at our missions dinner about a call to missional living, but I want to say we're thankful to be a part of what you're doing. We're thankful for that you are living out the gospel message and that we get to be a small part of it. The challenge would be that just you may not be translating the Bible into another language, but I promise you, you are living it out in front of those around you. So we can be the hands and feet of Jesus for others to say that. So let's pray for David and Holly. Let's pray for God to move in power. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the Porches. Thank you for their willingness to go and reach the Wolof people in Senegal, West Africa. Father, my prayer is that they would see a great harvest of men and women who would come to know you. My prayer is that they would not give up the faith and give up the fight and when things get tough and difficult, but that they would stay strong in translation, that they would stay about that task, that you'd keep the program going so that that entire scripture could be made known to that people group, that they could hear it. So many of them who don't read would be able to hear it through audio versions of it, that the gospel will take care of itself. My prayer is that Jesus would be glorified in Senegal and that Jesus would be glorified in Albertville. My prayer is that Jesus would be glorified in my family. My prayer is that Jesus would be glorified in my life, that you would shout Jesus from the mountain, that we would shout Jesus in the street, that we would speak the name of Jesus in this place. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name.
to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Your neighbors need Jesus this week. And as much as you love your neighbors, Jesus loves them more. Your family needs Jesus. And as much as you love your family, Jesus loves them more. So the best thing we can do is to live Jesus, to shout Jesus through our lives among our family and friends. Somebody shout Jesus. Come on.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Come on, sing with us. Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from
And I'm going to invite the choir to step on down. And as they do, let me say this. Robin and Trey Cates are speaking Jesus in Vermont. The Porches are speaking Jesus in Senegal. The Todds are speaking Jesus in Lebanon. J and A are speaking Jesus in the Middle East. Dr. Carol Spears is speaking Jesus in the United Arab Emirates. Hundreds of Timothy Initiative church planters are speaking Jesus in India. The Makulus are speaking Jesus in Uganda. Chelsea Matthews is speaking Jesus in Ghana. The Darnells are speaking Jesus in Geraldine. Multiple partners across the United States that we have are doing so. Right here, our local partners, Marshall Christian Services, the Messiah, Haitian Church, Real Life Ministries, our Cowbus Ministries, you and me, we all get to live the gospel with our hands and feet. That's what God is doing in your life and mine as we give, as we go, as we serve. And I have to tell you that Chris and Laura Hilburn have their face set toward the United Kingdom. I'd like to get them to join me. It's our last interview real quickly. And as they come, I'm going to ask you to bring your own stool. Sorry about that. And as they come, I have a microphone somewhere for you. Let me find it again. Chris and Laura were with us in September. Laura worked for our weekday preschool here in the church for 3 years. And they're active parts of Life Point Church, active leaders there, serve in a lot of different ways and capacities. But they have been called out from that place to go and plant a church, share the gospel, make a difference for the kingdom in Scotland. And we're excited that we have already started partnering with them as a church. But we want many of us as individuals to have an opportunity to do that as well. As you set your face toward the United Kingdom, the reality is the only thing that's holding you back at this point is about 23-24% of your monthly support. You've raised your, I forget what you call your one-time amount. What's that called?
Outfit and passage.
Outfit and passage is what's needed to get you set up there, to get you there, to make it happen. That's all been raised. You have over 75% now of your monthly funding needed. And by the way, it's expensive to move to the United Kingdom. But the gospel is needed there. So they're 25% away. So we hope someone in this room, someone watching online, someone listening on the radio might say, I can give $20 a month. I can give $50 a month. I can help get the Hilburns on the field. So really quickly, tell us why Scotland.
Yeah, first off, we're at about 20 now.
20%.
After this morning sharing with the small groups.
Praise the Lord. All right, made some progress already today. Praise the Lord. Great. So why Scotland?
Yeah, we get asked that a lot. I think the primary reason is that God allowed us to experience the country a few years ago, and we went and we saw a need. We saw that we served in a place of a particular village that of about 18,000 people, there was two evangelical churches of about 50 people each. So in that town, less than 1% of the population was effectively attending evangelical services. And that's kind of the case across Western Europe. And for us in particular, we have a distorted view of what Western Europe looks like, maybe even the UK in particular. But the U.S. follows what Western Europe does. So if you were to look 20, 30 years in the future, that's probably where they're at. And we experienced that, and we started asking ourselves, why not us and why not right now? And we hadn't come up with a good answer yet, so that's where
now,
we're going.
Repeat those questions again. You guys use those questions at LifePoint. Repeat them again a little slower for everyone in the room to hear it too.
Yeah, so why not us and why not right now? I think a lot of times we see problems and we think someone else will handle that at some point in the future. But if you start asking yourself, why not us and why not right now, you'd be surprised what the default answer is that God usually gives us.
It's a wonderful set of questions to use whenever you're thinking about trying to live and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Why not me? Why not right now? So you answered that call. You took some big steps of faith by resigning your job, and then you're both just working full time to make this happen. And so the hope is, or let me just say this, when you get the last 20%, how fast will you be able to make the transition to where you're going?
Yeah, it's pretty quick. It depends on how quickly the government turns it over, which we know that might take a little while.
Right.
But, you know, 4 to 6 weeks generally. So, I mean, if we were to raise our final 20% today, we would start filling out our visa applications tomorrow, and it's possible within 2 months we could be landing in the UK.
Now, before you end up in Scotland, you will spend a little time. Tell us where you're going to be, what you'll be doing at first.
Yeah, so there's a couple options in England. We'll basically go and serve under a British pastor and learn how to do British church for a time. Even though we don't have language acquisition we have to do, it's kind of like cultural acquisition. We don't understand subtlety as Americans, and I actually offended some people at a church over talking about the weather. I didn't even know that. I was supposed to agree with them that the weather was bad. I said, no, I have my own opinion. I don't think it's too bad outside, and they immediately quit talking to me. But it can shut down that quick because they think you're an argumentative American, so I'm not going to be able to get anywhere with you, and that's the end of the conversation.
So whatever they love about or hate about the weather, you're in now.
Yeah, I have to agree, 100%.
100%, you're with it. Okay, great. So that sounds great. So when we say 20%, let's talk real numbers. What does that mean in real dollars that you still need to raise to be able to go?
Yeah, so it's about $1,800 a month that we need. We broke it down, so neighborhood now, 35, 36 people will decide, $50 a month. I mean, it could be that simple. That's about what it would take.
And I do want to say to our faith family and to those that are new to us, since we've had a missions conference, we didn't have our normal ones through COVID, that we always invite our missionaries. Not only will we support them as a church, which we're doing, when people give above and beyond their regular giving to Advance 2022 Fund, we've had that fund since 2012, and every year people have given. We use that to support our missionaries, but we also encourage our missionaries to ask for individual support so it can be a both and, because it's a blessing as an individual family, not for me not to be tied down to only what our church is tied down to, but we also have missionaries that we support and are able to do so. So we'd encourage you to stop by their booth. They have a table right at the very entrance to the venue. When we're done this morning, stop by there and see them for a minute, or come by tonight before the missions dinner if you're coming and see them a little early there as well. Or maybe just stop by and grab one of their cards. They have a prayer card and information, and they're right here in the area, so you can sit down with someone over coffee at any point in the next week or two, so they'll make that happen. I want to encourage you to consider it. I realize that there are a million places we could invest our money or places we could spend our money, but the reality is I'm 100% convinced that the principle in the scripture where it says we cannot store up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust destroy, but we do store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. Randy Alcorn said it this way: you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. We can make an eternal investment that will pay dividends way beyond whatever I'm going to spend my money on this week. And it will have kingdom impact for people. And so I believe in their ministry. I believe in what you're doing. We're thankful to be a part of it. We appreciate you guys. Let us pray for you. Father God, thank you for Chris and Laura. My prayer is that you would provide the last of their funding that's needed. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. I pray that you would do so. I pray you'd burden the hearts of some in this room to be a part. I pray you'd burden the hearts of others in our community. Maybe someone who hears this on the radio, they would call the church at, and I'll just give the number at 878-2291. They will call the church and say, I want to be a part of helping the Hilburns. Maybe they're on their way listening to us on WQSB right now, on their way to their church service this Sunday morning. But they could stop and say, I could do this. I could be a part of that. So I pray that they would respond in that way. Father, I pray that you would give us opportunity to go serve with them in the future after they settle in and are there. Give us opportunities to pray faithfully for them and give us the desire and the boldness to pray that they would have gospel conversations and that lives would be won for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again for the Hilburns. We appreciate you guys. Thank you, guys. I need 4 minutes of your time. My prayer is that you and I could strive to be the church we see in the book of Acts, known as the church in Antioch. In Acts chapter 11, verse 23, Barnabas says he found evidence of the grace of God in that faith family. Let me read it to you. He says, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Can I be honest? I love this faith family. I love this church. I love being your pastor. And I see evidence of the grace of God in this faith family. But I want to say to you that it really, I'm just going to say it, it doesn't matter how much I see the evidence of the grace of God in us. What matters is, will those outside our walls see the evidence of the grace of God in us? So I want to challenge you, friends. May our neighbors and our city see that in our actions, in our reactions, and in our love. I could share with you stories of where we've already received texts of prayer requests from people who got a free gas card and then have now responded saying how the Lord spoke to them in this way and called them to do this. How another received one of our free giveaways this last week and said, I want you to know I had just about given up on the Lord. I'm paraphrasing what she said. I had just about given up on the Lord, but the reality is you showed me the hands and feet of Jesus. And so now I'm going to go back to this ministry and what God was calling. Hey, listen, I want you to understand that we can show the grace of God, like it says in the book of Acts, with our hands and feet. May the world see that. Also, that same church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, we see a diverse group of ethnicities, backgrounds in the Antioch church. It says, now there were at the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucian of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, you may say, I don't know what that means. That's a bunch of names. If you do the research, you will realize that is people of different cultures, ethnicities, and backgrounds together in the church. What a beautiful picture of the church. And so my prayer, and we talked about this last week, is that we can strive to be hard to be a whosoever will may come church. That people who come with great means and people who come with no means and people who come of different ethnicities and different backgrounds, that everyone will feel welcome in this place. That everyone will not only feel welcome here, but that we will understand that our calling is to go to our Jerusalem and to speak to those in our community and to minister Jesus to those in our community who come from the Haitian background, from the Latino background, who are Caucasians like the large majority of us, who come from other places, those who come from a long line of believers, but yet it's been cultural and they don't know the Lord, those who come from the cult or those who come from secularism. It's all found right here local among us. So friends, our calling, let's try to live out what we see in Acts 13. Let's be a whosoever will may come and a whosoever will, we are coming for you kind of church, okay? Let that be our call. Not whosoever will may come only, but whosoever will, we're coming for you. We want to show you and be a bridge for the gospel. That's one of the reasons we're going to look for a missions pastor like we talked about last week, someone to help us. And then in Acts chapter 13, the next verse, it says this about the Antioch church. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now listen to me. If you've got Paul the Apostle the greatest church planter ever to live, and Barnabas, the great encourager, the one who was a discipler among disciplers, if they are in your church and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to send them out to go do something else, to leave your place and go somewhere else. Listen, I got to tell you, some people start asking God for some identification in that kind of prayer. They're like, is this really you? Because this is the best of the best. Why would we give up the best of what we have? Listen, friends, my prayer is that we would be just like the Antioch church. Here's what I mean. May we be selfless with our people and be willing to send the best. If that means to send someone to serve in Senegal, West Africa, to send someone to serve in the United Kingdom, to send someone to serve in Geraldine, to send someone to serve in Boaz, to send someone to serve anywhere. Listen, may we always be willing to lead with the yes and say no one in this church is off limits, from the newest member to the oldest member, from the youngest child to the pastor. May we all say, God, here am I, send me. You use me right here, or you use me down the street. And may we always be willing to understand that God is always sending the best, and I believe he thinks the best is you. And so what you and I have an opportunity to do is be his hands and feet, his man or woman on the scene in your neighborhood, his man or woman on the scene in your workplace, his man or woman on the scene in different ministries and communities and areas right here in our own city. May we always be that, just like the church at Antioch. And one last passage, and I'm done. Acts 11:27, it says this about these same people. It says, now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Holy Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. And it says this took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers who lived in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. What does that say? It says the Antioch church was not only selfless with their people, they were not only selfless to go, they were not only a whosoever will may come kind of church, they were selfless with their finances. They were willing to say, these are my resources, and because there is a need, I will give them. Faith family, I want to encourage you that your time, your talents, and your treasures, that's your greatest resources, your time, your talents, and your treasures. And will you join me at the last day of this serve week in a renewed commitment that we will put our yes on the table and say to the Lord, I will give of my time to be your hands and feet and serve those around me. I will give of my talents, my unique abilities to be your hands and feet and serve those around you. And I will give of my treasures. I will give of my finances. Listen, friends, I want to encourage you to do so. My prayer is that you and I would be able to say, wherever he leads, I'll go. I love that song. Wherever he leads, I'll go. If God is leading you to be a part of our Church on Wheels ministry as we go into different underserved neighborhoods in our city, listen, wherever he leads, I'll go. If God is calling you to give financially to help the Hilburns get on the field, wherever he leads, I'll go. If God is calling you to go invest a month of your life in Senegal, West Africa, to be a blessing to the porches and help them in some way, wherever he leads, I'll go. If God is calling you to go be a part of our church plant in Geraldine, wherever he leads, I'll go. If God is calling you, just in who knows what it might be, my prayer is that you would find the way to say yes to him and then to do so. Now, we're coming to a time of invitation. It's time to close our service. And I want to invite you to a couple of things. Now, before we leave, let me remind you, one of the things we're going to do today is give you an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Kale, would you bring me both of those bags real quick? So you've noticed when you came in the building, lined across the back pews here, in the hallway right out here, in the hallway, thank you, sir, down towards the back way right here straight across, and then you go to the atrium, the entire atrium and the hallway towards the railroad track, there are 200 of these bags. And here's what they are. They are full of food. Marshall Christian Services Second Chance Food Pantry gave us well over $3,000 to $4,000 worth of food to be able to give away, and then you donated another $1,000 or $2 worth of food to give away. And then we also have a $10 gift card to Foodland where people can buy things that they're not going to find in this to help them. And so why would we do this? Because there are people in our city where right now, with the cost of fuel, with the cost of living going up, that buying groceries has become a game changer for them and difficult. And so one of the ways we can be the hands and feet of Jesus is to give. So we do this great grocery giveaway. We do it 4 times a year. So it's always part of Serve the City weekend, which is now Serve Week this week. So here's what we're doing. We have so much food to give, it wouldn't fit in one bag. So every house, when you take a house to deliver to, you need to take 2 bags. And the way to know to do that is this. The 2 bags are sitting just like this, wherever you find them, and they have matching colored ribbons on the handles. So orange goes with orange, blue with blue, green with green, whatever color it is, whatever you find, the two go together. If you mix the colors, you're mixing up what they're going to get double. Nobody needs 10 pounds of sugar. As a diabetic now, nobody needs 10 pounds of sugar. But anyway, we don't want to double what we give them. So make sure they're getting the matching tags. Now, when you go and find your bag to deliver, you will find in the one closest to the aisle, wherever you're walking, you will find inside that an address and a map. You will see highlighted on the map, First Baptist Church. You will see a little map that will point you to an address, and it gives you the address. It is really that simple. You take those 2 bags, you drive to that address, you park, and you drop them off on their porch, knock, and run. No, I'm just kidding. You can run. If you want to, that's fine. But you can knock and just say it's a gift from the church. Don't take no for an answer. Leave the food, okay? If they're not home, leave it. If there's a gate, don't go inside a gate. Leave it outside the gate. Nothing in here will spoil until someone gets home to get it. It will be okay. So you leave both bags at one house. Does that make sense? Just to help. So we either need 100 families to take one, or we need 50 families to take two, meaning you would grab 4 bags, 2 and 2. So we would encourage you, if you're a single person and you want to take one, or again, that's two, take one unit due. If you're a family of 5 and you want to take 2 units, the way they're laid out in the hallways, just so you know, they're laid out as best as possible by address, meaning that 2 side by side are going to be houses side by side, if that makes sense, to make it easier on you so you're not going multiple places. There are some exceptions. If you found the exceptions, congratulations. But for the most part, they're side by side, what you'll find as you go. So you'll be fine. But listen, what would be a tragedy is if we come and we hear about how easy it, or not how easy, but about people who are literally moving around the world, but we can't find 50 families to go to the neighborhood across the street here. So we want to encourage you to grab a couple. You'll be blessed if you do. If you would like to, stop and pray for them. Either if they're not home or you don't knock and you just want to leave it, but when you get back in your car, pray for that family. Inside is a message and an opportunity for them to ask for prayer. And it's a message, a gospel message from us, an invitation to our church. And so all the houses that are going to get this, there's a couple on Baltimore Avenue down through here, and all the rest, if you were to look, go right outside this door, it's this neighborhood right across the street here, headed toward Eastside Rec Center, towards St. Paul Church, towards North Carlisle Street. They're all going right here. So we should really scare some people when 50 cars go pulling into the neighborhood at once. That's what we're going for. So we're going to kind of go that way. So we really hope you will do so. We happen to have 6 bags, and these are 2 of them that don't have an address. So if you say, I just knew a friend who desperately needs food and I want to make a gospel impact for them, well, these are yours. Come get them when the service is over, and you take them to whoever you want. The rest, they all have an address. 2 bags go together by the color, okay? The last thing I'll say is this. For those of you that weren't here last week, we had a ministry fair in the venue. So we have those booths set up again. We're not going to be there long today. We have them set up again so that you can come through and see different ministries you might want to sign up and be a part of. You don't have to spend but a couple of minutes in there. If you've already been, just stop by the missionary booth. They're right on the carpeted end of the venue, and then you don't have to go through the rest again unless you want to. But we'll be there for a few moments. My suggestion is go ahead and grab your bags and take them with you so nobody... So you get left out. Now, here's the other thing I would say. If you are someone who would like to do it, but you want a little help carrying them to your car, we've got some men who would be happy to help you make that happen to get these to your car, okay? So the invitation is quite simple. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Well, I give of my time, my talents, and my treasures, and we've given you some specific ways you can today, but one of the ways is just by being faithful to give on a regular basis because we're supporting all these ministries. Will I sign up and be a part of something and help go be the hands and feet of Jesus? That can get messy, but it's worth it. Maybe for you, the calling is that you want to become a prayer warrior for one of these ministries. Maybe for you, God's calling you to go on mission for a week. Maybe for, I don't know what God's saying to you, but I know this. He's calling you to your neighbors. He planted you where you live for a reason. He's calling you to your workplace. He's planted you where you work for a reason. He's calling you to your school. He's planted you where he's got you for a reason. So if you want to just come and pray about what God's calling you to do, would you do so? Maybe you just want to sing this song and let it be your commitment prayer. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Maybe you want to join our church. I got to be honest. There's no better day. There is a family joining in a few moments and Kale will present them. But there's no better day in my mind to join a church than a day like Serve Day. When you can see what this is what we're really about. We're an army of the Lord growing together to be on mission for him. That's our prayer and desire. Maybe you want to give your life to the Lord. I'd love to pray with you about that. Maybe you say, I have Jesus, but I want to follow through with believers' baptism. We're baptizing next Sunday and the next Sunday. So now's the time. If you would like to be a part of that, come and let us know. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond? Pray with me. Father God, my prayer is that every person in this room would accept the call to live on mission for you. One step would be to take these bags and deliver them. What a simple step we could do, but thank you that we can do it. Another step might be to become a part of a ministry here that operates throughout our facility. Maybe for others, it's to bring some diapers and wipes or a pack and play or a car seat for real life ministries. Maybe it's to give money to help the Hilburns go. Lord, whatever the next right step is for everybody in this room, it's probably a different step for everyone. But I know the step includes being your hands and feet. So God, may we respond to you as you call. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing this verse.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.